Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We touch on the topic, we are children of God, and that describes our relationship with God now. No longer enemies, but part of God's family. And then last Lord's Day, we touch on we are new creatures. It describes our relationship with God in terms of our salvation. What God has done in your life and in my life. And continuing with this theme, because verse 20 and verse 21, they follow from what God started by describing us as new creatures. New in terms of quality. This time tonight, we are going to look at we are ambassadors for Christ, not of Christ, for Christ. It describes our relationship with the world. An ambassador is a person who stands in the place of Christ. He will do what his king would do as if his king was present. Now that's how Webster's dictionary defined and explained the word ambassador. We do what our king would do as if our king was present. And in this instance, we must do what Christ would do as if Christ is present. Now that is an ambassador. Now, in our context, we have an ambassador in residence, whereby he is appointed an ambassador to a particular country. So if I'm an ambassador to Thailand, India, I would be called an ambassador in residence in that particular country only. But there is another understanding of an ambassador, which is known as an ambassador at large. He is an ambassador of multiple countries. And that's who we are, not an ambassador in residence to a particular country that is Singapore only. But everywhere we go, to the rest of the world, we are ambassadors at large. And it is in the plural. It's not just singular. All of us who are born again in Christ, new creatures in Christ, are now ambassadors for Christ. At home, at work, in school, wherever you go, whichever country you are in, on holiday or in business, you never stop being an ambassador. Now that is a big difference. Because in today's context, when an ambassador arrives, he presents himself to the leader, the prime minister or king of that country or president, to let him know with his credentials that he is an ambassador. And these are his credentials with the backing of his sovereign, his king, his country. Now, we do not need to do that. And we will see and understand why. This is from God to the rest of the world. And as you know, as an ambassador, very often when you see an ambassador right now and right here on earth, how do you address him? You address him as ambassador so-and-so, right? And so from now onwards, just for your information, please call me Ambassador Quack. Is that okay? And then in turn, I will call you Ambassador Lim, Ambassador Tan, Ambassador whatever you want to be called, your surname. Is that okay? Not okay. Embarrassing. Is it embarrassing? So afterwards, when I stand at the door, how should you greet me? Do not know. Ambassador Quack, is that too bad? Better not, right? Because it's embarrassing to go around telling people, I'm ambassador this, ambassador that. They think you are cuckoo, crazy. But are we not ambassadors for Christ? Should we be ashamed? Unless we are living in a manner that does not stand in place of Christ. And that's why we say, please don't call me an ambassador. Because when you and I look at our lives, when our lives are examined inside out, we are to stand in the place of Christ as if Christ is standing in the midst of this country, this world. That is a very high honor. An ambassador is actually the highest diplomat that you could ever think of. Representing the one who has sent him. In this case, the kingdom of heaven. Christ, the Lord, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. That's who we are. And we should not be ashamed unless we are living in sin. But if we are living in a manner that truly reflects the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing to be ashamed of. Because the first part of verse 20 describes exactly what an ambassador ought to be. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And so when you are now urging someone, for example, you stand in front of a sinner, you are now talking to a sinner, you are exactly as what Paul described, as though God is beseeching you. So when you are talking to the sinner, you are now standing or talking as if God is now beseeching this person to believe in Christ. That's what it means. And that's how God wants us to look at ourselves in relation to the world. In relation to God, in terms of salvation, see yourself as a new creature. But when you go out into the world, do not see yourself just as a new creature, because they can't tell the difference. You have not received the glorified body yet. But God wants you to look at yourself and present yourself as an ambassador, as if you are standing in the room, in place of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore your conduct and your behavior has to be Christ-like. Now, when we understand this role and this position that God wants us to have mentally, that's where it all begins. Because if you do not see yourself as ambassador for Christ, you're not going to be very careful with how you speak and how you conduct yourself. But the moment you are made an ambassador, your conduct and your behavior will change. For example, before you are promoted to be an ambassador to a country, you go to the country as just a normal citizen. You behave as a citizen. You are pretty carefree. You may drink, you may do whatever any citizen will do on holiday in that country. Very carefree, and even to the point of careless. You don't care very much. But the moment now you have been appointed an ambassador, now you're arriving in the same country that you used to attend or arrive in as a tourist. But now no longer as a tourist, but as an ambassador, you realize that instantaneously your behavior and your conduct, everything will change. You cannot just simply walk around and talk and do whatever you want. You are now representing the country, the leader who has sent you there. And that's how God wants us to remember our position in relation to the world. Because when you do that, straight away many things that the world will throw at you, many things that the world may offer you, you will see them with God's eyes. I'm an ambassador. You cannot corrupt me with money. I will not be bought, because my loyalty is without price. It is only to my Savior and my Savior alone. When they try to entice you, seduce you, you will stand your ground, because you know you're an ambassador. You are now standing there as if Christ is standing in front of them. And the words that come out of your mouth, you remember the definition, as though God is now beseeching you, even though I am doing it, but I am now in place of God. And when I beseech you to accept Christ, it is God who is now beseeching you to accept Christ. And this is something that we do not understand and do not consciously make ourselves aware of, especially when we go tracting, when we go to work, when we go to school. We just simply see ourselves as ordinary Singapore citizens, or whatever citizen of whichever country you come from. And that is to our own detriment. And our witness for Christ is usually put in jeopardy and compromised, because we do not see ourselves as an ambassador for Christ. Therefore, we are less careful with our words and definitely not very careful with our conduct. You think Christ would go to a bar and drink? You think Christ would just simply stand around and hold a cigarette in his finger, out between his two fingers, and start smoking? You think Christ would go into a casino and start gambling? You think Christ would sit down and play mahjong during Chinese New Year with relatives and friends? You think Christ would just sit down and talk about all kinds of terrible things, criticizing the government and using all kinds of unsavory words? Christ will never do that. And therefore, neither should an ambassador for Christ. And because we do not remember that we are ambassadors for Christ, we continue to fall into transgressions and misrepresent Christ. And therefore, the people around us will continue to be stumbled, and they will continue to miss and reject the Savior. Because we have forgotten that we are now speaking, beseeching on behalf of God. That's why it is so important that we know ourselves in the way that God wants us in relation to the world tonight. Ambassadors, standing in place of Christ. That's how important you are. That's the definition. Look at the second half of verse 20. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now every ambassador, they will go to another country, and in our context, as ambassadors at large to the whole world, we need a letter of credence, they call it. Right? A letter of credence to authenticate our position as ambassadors. You cannot just simply go and then with nothing, and then you just walk up to this head of the country or the head of state and say, hello, I'm an ambassador for this country. Any credentials, any paperwork, anything to prove that you are? Nope. Just take my word for it. I'm just telling you and that's it. That will not work. You are a total stranger to this head of state that you entered into and claim that you're an ambassador, where you're going to be treated differently. You're going to be treated with special privileges that will not give to any normal citizen. Because that's what an ambassador will be. And that's how he'll be treated. And so therefore you need a letter of credence that is very proper, that is genuine, with all the proper signature, stamp, or whatever that is required. So that when you present your position with all the letter of credence, that you are truly an ambassador. Verse 20b is our letter of credence from the Lord. You are to go to the world and be a reconciler. I mean, be ye reconciled to God. That's what you are to do. Now, they cannot be reconciled to God if they see us in sin. They need to see us in holiness. And that is our letter of credence from God to the rest of the world. We are here to tell you how you can reconcile yourself to your Creator. That's what we are here to do. That's the message. That's what we must do. That's our letter. And therefore, you have to make sure that you have been reconciled to God first. If you are not reconciled to God, in other words, you are not born again in Christ. If you are not a new creature with a new mind, a new heart, a new disposition, a new relationship from an enemy to a child of God, you cannot be an ambassador for Christ because you are false. You're going to do a lot of damage when you call yourself a Christian and then you do not live like a Christian, because an ambassador for Christ will know that he is truly born again in Christ with the letter that he has received from God as his authorization. Reconciled to God. That's what we have experienced. We pray you in Christ's stead, instead of Christ. You go there and you tell them that you have been reconciled to God. And that's who you are. And that's why the world will not know us the way that we are supposed to be known, because they do not know Christ yet. They cannot understand that we are a spiritual people on a spiritual mission of reconciling sinners to their Creator. Because they are in sin. They are going to die in sin. And they're going to end up in hell because they're going to die in sin. And God does not want to see anyone who has been created in His image to die in sin and end up in hell. And that's why He saved us and left us behind and called us all who are truly born again with this letter of credence. Reconcile to God first yourself, then you go. You cannot not go. Because if you have tasted the power of the salvific work of Christ in your heart and in your life,
That salvific experience will compel you. You cannot want to keep it in your pocket. You cannot hide it. You must not. You should not. Because when you have experienced the joy of deliverance from the bondage of sin, and to be removed from all your life for eternity, that you no longer need to fear death. You no longer have to worry about spending eternity in hell, which is a place of great torment and pain, all because of God's love for you in Christ Jesus. And you have experienced that truly in all sincerity within your heart. How to hide that message? How to hide the message from the people that you see every day in school and in your workplace? When you look at them, do you not see your own face, your mirror image? That's what we were like. Living in sin, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes characterize us, breaking all the Ten Commandments repeatedly over and over again, knowing that we cannot save ourselves, and we were completely ignorant of this reality until someone at one point in your life that God sent to bring you the gospel, to open your eyes, to save you, so that you can see and understand. That is the letter of credence that you must hold in your hand, your own personal salvation, being reconciled to God, so that when you go out there, you will truly stand in the image of Christ and speak His word, live His life. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's what the world needs to see. Different. And that's why you cannot be motivated by money and power like before. That has to stop, because Christ, when He came down to earth, was He motivated by position and power? Was Christ motivated by what God said to Him? Well, now that you have been glorified, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess you as Lord. Was that what motivated Christ? The Bible simply said that Christ loved us. That's it. Sure, for us the same. God promised us that when you serve me faithfully, everything that is done in Christ, made up of gold, silver, precious stone, and I test it with fire, you will not lose your reward. But that is never our motivation. You must never be motivated by reward, even though God will give us. It has to be constrained by the love of Christ. And the love of Christ is not your love for Christ. Or my love for Christ, your love for Christ, my love for Christ, they are too weak. It's too weak. One moment we are fine. Next moment we are bad. We are no good. How can we be motivated by our love for Christ? It has to be Christ's love for us. That love for Christ that Paul constantly reminds us that he was constrained by is his remembrance and his experience of Christ's love for him. And Christ's love for him is maximum, it is constant, is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for my sin. He lived and He died for me. And that love is really completed, and He did it. And every time you remember this, that Christ lived and died for me, and I am now His ambassador standing in His place, I must now also live and die for Him as I serve Him. And that's what we are to be. That's what we are to do. That's our letter of credence, being reconciled to God. Do you have that in your heart, in your life? Because if you are not born again in Christ, do not have this letter of credence, you can't go out there and be an ambassador for Christ even though you say you are a Christian. You're going to fail miserably, and you're going to stumble more and more people. And that's why it is better for you not to call yourself a Christian if you are not truly born again in Christ. For example, you lie and you cheat, and you never call yourself a Christian, and you are found out. The only name that is shamed is your name. That's it. It's publicized in the newspaper. So-and-so is a CEO of this company. He lied and he cheated so much and so much money, and now he is brought to court and he's found guilty, he's convicted, he's sentenced to 3 years in prison. So the only name that has been tarnished is your name. And everyone that is related to you, including your family, they will be affected. When you call yourself a Christian, not only will your name, but the more important name that you bear, that is Christ, will be tarnished. A Christian now has lied and cheated. He is a CEO of this company, and he is now in prison, convicted for a crime. He's a Christian. And worse still, if you are a position holder in the church, an elder, an ordained minister, a deacon, worse, A deacon of this church, CEO of this company, convicted, arrested, sentenced to 3 years imprisonment. It's better not to call yourself a Christian because you are not an ambassador for Christ without the letter of credence, which is having reconciled yourself to God. If you have not been reconciled to God, you should not and must not call yourself an ambassador for Christ because you're going to be a bad witness. And you will stand in the room of Christ and present to people all around you a Christ that is sinful, a Christ that is carnal, and you're going to do the greatest damage to the cause of Christ, and you are doing a very big favor, a gigantic favor for the devil. Because that is his desire, greatest desire, to ruin the witness of Christ in the hearts and minds of people, especially committed by people who call themselves Christians. And that's the worst thing. How many people have rejected Christ because of bad experiences with professing believers in the past? Can't even count them. And they keep on repeating itself over and over again. And it is not going to stop. Because there will be so many more professing Christians today than ever before. Because Jesus told us that Christianity will fall away before his return. Professing believers will be more found in this world in the last days than at any period of church history. And we are living, sadly, in that period. And so you have professing believers presenting Roman Catholic Christianity, the Roman Catholic Christ. And then you have the charismatic, thousands and thousands and millions of them all over the world presenting the Christ that is carnal. And they are also ambassadors for the carnal Christ. You have the Roman Catholics, ambassadors for the idolatrous Christ. And then you have the new evangelical presenting the Christ that makes mistakes because they believe that the words of Christ, which is the Bible, has mistakes. And so you have all kinds of ambassadors presenting all the different Christs. And in the midst of all this great confusion, God says, I still send you out to be my ambassadors, beseeching on behalf of God, telling the world with your letter of credence that is you have truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, you have been reconciled to God, and with this in you, you go. And you go, and you be courageous. And the message of the ambassador, verse 21. That's your message. For he had made him to be sin for us. Who? Made who? Christ. God has made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that is Christ. He had never experienced any sin. The word knew there is experiential knowledge. Did he know and understand sin cognitively? Of course. God understood what sin has always been from the very beginning when God and Christ and the Holy Spirit made the covenant with Adam in the Garden of Eden before the fall. If you were to eat of the forbidden fruit, you will surely die because that is a transgression. So did God know about sin cognitively? Of course. But experientially, never until Jesus Christ came into this earth. He never had any experience of sin. That's why this word new is experiential knowledge. He experienced no sin because he was on earth in human form. He experienced no sin, even though he died for us in sin, because your sins and my sins were upon him. Because only people die because of sin. But in the case of Christ, he died because he had no sin, because he took your sins and my sins upon him, and that's why he died. That's why his death is so special, it's so unique. Because the Bible says all who sin must die. But Christ knew no sin, he experienced no sin, so why must he die? Because of your sins and my sins. That's the message. That's the message of hope. That's the message of God. That's the message of the ambassadors for Christ. You don't invent and create your own message. Every faithful ambassador must only speak the message of the sovereign who sent him. And the sovereign, that is the king who sent us, is Christ. You cannot invent your own message and add to it or subtract from it. You've got to speak it as it is. You've got to tell them that this is the message to reconcile you to God, which I have experienced in my own life, the reconciliation, that's your letter of credence. To tell them that you and I are all born in sin. And the sin that we have in our hearts is our sins that we have committed against God. And the only just punishment for all of us is to die in sin, or when we die in sin, we end up in hell. That is the just punishment, because of the grievous nature and heinous nature of our transgressions and iniquities against God Himself. But we don't have to die in sin, because God loved us while we were in this state of condemnation and sin when He sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die for us. Now that is the message. He had made Him to be sin for us. Made Him. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and He took upon His body your sins and my sins. He suffered and He died, even though He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, so that you can stand before God as a righteous person. That is the message of the ambassador from God, from Christ, to the rest of the world. Because God wants you to be righteous in His sight, and that means you have to get rid of all your sins, the sins of your mind, the sins of your heart, the sins of your mouth, the sins of your hands, the sins of your feet, all our sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by His shed blood, is able to wash away all our sins and make us righteous instantaneously, as if we have never sinned before, as if we have never broken any of God's commandments before. That is the power of the message that we have from God in Christ. And that's how great a ministry that God has given to us as Christians. And to do that, God says, remember that you are ambassadors standing in the place of God. That's who we are. Don't forget that. When you go to school, when you go to work, when you go home and witness to your parents who are unbelievers, and parents, when you witness to your children who are unbelievers, be ambassadors. Speak the word of Christ. Conduct yourself in Christ, in holiness, as if Christ is standing in the room, because you are an ambassador for Christ. As if Christ is standing in the classroom, because you are an ambassador for Christ. In your workplace, because you are an ambassador for Christ. Everywhere you go. What a tremendous impression that the Lord wants us to have in our mind, in our heart, concerning who we are to the world that is dying in sin. And by what you do, you can help them to be righteous, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All of us. No exception. No matter how heinous and how terrible your sins are, God guarantees that what Jesus Christ did as fully God and fully man, the God-man who died for us, He can wash away all your sins. No matter how terrible they are, there are no sins that you and I could commit against God that are so heinous that even the blood of Christ cannot wash away. They can. Because God knew about your sins even before you were born, even before you committed them. And despite of all these, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead so that you could be justified. If there is any sin on earth that what Jesus Christ did by His shed blood could not wash away, God would not have raised Him from the dead. You know that, right? Because it is not enough. The fact that it was enough to wash away the sins of the world, and you and I can't even imagine the heinous nature of the manifold transgressions that are found on this earth. Can't even imagine. And some of them, we don't even dare to imagine, dare not even to talk about it, because it will dirty our minds and it will dirty our soul just to be told that this kind of transgressions existed. We would rather say, please don't describe any further. Please don't tell me anymore. It is so disgusting. It is so heinous. I don't even want to know it. Otherwise, my mind will continue to be polluted by it. And yet, God says, even that kind of transgressions that are so disgusting that can't even be mentioned, the blood of Christ can wash away. Otherwise, God will never raise Christ from the dead. If there is any transgression committed at any time in human history that is so heinous that even the blood of Christ cannot wash away, Christ will remain dead. But the fact that He was raised from the dead on the third day after He died by God Himself, and that is God's message to all of us, that what my only begotten Son did when He came down from heaven to become a man born of the Virgin Mary, to become exactly like one of us but without sin. And he lived a perfect life in obedience to all of my laws. And then led as a lamb to the slaughter, silently, quietly, he surrendered himself to be humiliated, persecuted, spat upon, crucified, and died. I accepted as sufficient to take away the sins of the whole world from beginning to end, because I raised him from the dead so that you could be justified and stand before me righteous. The righteousness of God in him will be given to you instantaneously. You know how wonderful that concept is? To stand before God soaked in sin and filled and as an enemy of God, and then suddenly completely washed as white as snow. Instantaneously, the moment you truly, sincerely, with all your heart, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, you are now given the righteousness of God and stand before God accepted as if God has never seen you as a sinner before. That's what it means. No original sin that you have inherited from Adam, washed by the blood. And every sin that you have committed in mind, in thought, in lips, in action, all washed by the blood of Christ. That's how wonderful and instant the salvation is. And that's the message that God wants you to bring as an ambassador for Christ. Don't invent your own. Don't tamper with it. Don't go and tell them because you're ashamed to offend the sinner, and by telling them that you are a sinner, too offensive. And you tell them, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. That's incomplete. Incomplete. Who doesn't want to believe in Christ and go to heaven, and then you pray with the person thinks he's born again, but in fact he is not. Because the only basis, the only biblical reason for accepting Christ is sin. We are sinners before God, totally undone and unable to save ourselves. But God wants to save you. He will do all the work to save us, and he has already done so in Christ. All you need is to believe and accept with all your heart, and you'll be saved to the uttermost. That's the message of an ambassador. And that's our message to the world. And that's the message that you must bring with you as an ambassador for Christ from now onwards, everywhere you go. And don't forget, you are ambassador so-and-so. That's how you must look at yourself now. The world will not see that, because the world will persecute you. That's why you don't have to present to the head of state to be accepted, to be recognized. You are now given this position by God as an ambassador at large to the whole world. And that is your credential. You have been reconciled to God. And now the message, they too can be reconciled to God in Christ and be made righteous. That's the message. That's what you are to do. See, sometimes when we think of the rapture, we usually think of the rapture as the climax of our salvation. We think of our glorified bodies. And you are correct. If you look at the rapture from the perspective of our personal individual salvation, you are not wrong. When you look at the rapture from the perspective of an ambassador, what happens when a country wants to declare war on another country? Do you know that the first thing they do is to call back their ambassador? Because that was what I read in the papers some time back. When Russia annexed Crimea, the Ukrainian government called back their ambassadors because of what happened. They were helpless. Russia was too powerful, and there was no other country who could help, who could stop them. And they just simply annexed and say that, well, this part of Ukraine, this part of Crimea is ours. And I read in the papers, first thing they did was to call back their ambassadors. No more relationship. What does that mean? You're going to declare war? Isn't that what happened during the First and Second World War? That's what countries started to do the moment they begin to fight with one another. The first thing that they did was to call back the ambassador, everyone in the embassy, everyone, every family, please bring everybody back. And so if you look at the rapture as God recalling all the ambassadors, what do you think that means? Because the rapture will take place before the 7 years of Great Tribulation. And when God called his ambassadors back, soon,
the tribulation will begin. God will unleash his wrath onto this earth. Rapture is the recalling of ambassadors. Our time of service as ambassadors for Christ are numbered. Every day you can be a witness and ambassador for Christ. You cherish it. You do it well with God's help, with God's enabling. And don't forget that you are standing in the place of Christ, your Lord and your Savior, with the letter of credence that is your own personal salvation, and with the message of God to tell sinners that they too can be righteous in Christ, can be made righteous in Christ. And the next day, you do the same. And the next day, you do the same. Because there will come a point in time, there will be no more next day. You'll be taken up, and it's over. That is why it is so precious, because of the limitations of the number of days that we can have to tell the world about the love of God in Christ. And to do that well, God says, I want you to remember that you are my ambassadors, even though the world do not recognize you. And that's why they persecute you. That's why they hurt you. They can't hurt a proper regular ambassador, right? That's why the ambassador has to bring the letter to them, the head of state, to recognize them so that they will be protected under the law of an ambassador. They are protected. Even though they may break some of the laws, because of the protection, they will not be charged. But in our case, you don't have to be accepted by them. The letter of credence given to you by God, you don't have to show them for them to accept. That's why they don't recognize you. That's why they will persecute you. They're not going to reciprocate when you go out into the world as ambassadors telling them the love of God in Christ. They're not going to pat you on the back. They're not going to protect you. They're not going to treat you special. No privileges from the world, because the God of this world, the Bible says, has blinded the minds of the people so that they will not believe. And that's why they're going to persecute you as ambassadors for Christ. And so when the Lord raptures you and take you home, he's taking the ambassadors back, recalling all of us, because soon the declaration of God's wrath, of war, will come. 7 years, and finally the Lord himself will appear, the battle of Armageddon will begin, and then the separation of the sheep and the goat, and then the millennium will begin. And the end of man's reign and rule on earth is over forever. That's our age. That's the last days that we're living in. So please see yourself in relation to the world out there, your school, your workplace. You are an ambassador for Christ. With Christ's credentials, with Christ's message. Be faithful and discharge your responsibilities well to the praise and glory of God, for the salvation of many, many lost souls waiting for you to bring them Christ as his ambassadors. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O Lord, for this privilege and honor that you want us to see ourselves as ambassadors for Christ when you send us forth to fulfill the great commission given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to never forget who we are when you left us behind after salvation to tell the world about the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we are to do so in place of Christ as his ambassadors with our credential, that is, we have been reconciled to God in Christ, and to tell the world that they too can be reconciled to God in Christ and be made righteous in him. We thank thee, Father, for this wonderful life and this great responsibility that you have entrusted to all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. As long as we are children of the Most High God, we are ambassadors for Christ. May we accomplish this wonderful privilege and mission successfully with thy enabling, with thy help, in school, at home, at work, wherever we are. May we never, never forget and never stop being ambassadors for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing in his place, in high honor and the greatest privilege that you could ever bestow upon us. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege. May we be faithful and discharge this responsibility to the praise and glory of thy holy name. And may thou use us to lead many souls into thy kingdom. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.